Momentum Outward Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams and Paul Ledansky, ESET research team members and members of SeaTac. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
Wanted to chat today a little bit, given both of your previous years at Microsoft, about internet fraud and photo DNA. Randy, I guess, can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Well, actually, I can't tell you as much about it as Paul can, but what I can tell you is, having worked at Microsoft and being a vocal critic of Microsoft at times, sometimes Microsoft does not get it right, but that's what makes the press. And oftentimes, Microsoft has very, very dedicated, talented employees that do an awful lot right and rarely gets credit for that. And Paul worked in Microsoft's Internet Crimes Investigation Unit, and I'd love to have Paul share some of the stuff that Microsoft does to help protect the consumer. And part of this talks about internet fraud and photo DNA. So I'll turn it over to you, Paul, and share with us, please.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. It's a pleasure. So first, as a basis, the group was called Internet Safety Enforcement, and we changed, when I was there at the time, to Digital Crimes Unit. So they are now called Digital Crimes Unit. And when I was there, we were working on photo DNA and internet fraud alert. As a matter of fact, when I was first hired on there, one of my first projects was to be the tech development lead, tech program manager that helped to design, architect, and develop internet fraud alert. And you can go check out the website at ifraudalert.org. It's an entry into what Internet Fraud Alert is about, not the actual application. The foundation for the Internet Fraud Alert project or the service was the notice of a gap in the industry and in the community that when researchers, investigators found PII or personally identifiable information for consumers, whether that was credit card information, social security, or username and passwords into email accounts, as an example, there was no clear path as to where that information can go to. It was really based on relationships. If researchers had a relationship with bank XYZ and they found credentials that were owned by that bank, then they would provide that information to their contact at bank XYZ. So Internet Fraud Alert was developed to fill that gap, where it runs out of a group called the NCFTA, the National Cyber Forensics Training Alliance, where they house academics there, they house law enforcement there, and they house industry there, and they are based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The application, in a nutshell, allows for the receipt of compromised or exposed credentials by researchers or investigators, and securely encrypts that data both in transit and at rest. Then there is some logic within the application that parses that information and segments it. So if it finds information that belongs to bank XYZ, it stores that information for only bank XYZ to access. So company ABC can't access it. However, if also it finds within the data submission information that belongs to company ABC, then Internet Fraud Alert parses out the information and submits it and stores it for company ABC's secure retrieval.
Okay, so Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a moment. Some of our listeners are extremely technical and understand every word you said. And some of our listeners are not highly technical. So for those that are not highly technical, can you distill in a couple sentences what this means to the average consumer?
Well, the consumer can know that there is a clearinghouse of stolen information. People may not know their information was stolen. this clearinghouse that operates out of the NCFTA, a 501c3 that works closely with industry and law enforcement, they gather that stolen information and then they give it to the companies or organizations that control that stolen information. And then it is up to...
A 501c3 means nonprofit organization, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
And then it is up to those companies that own that information to put that stolen information into their processes. So if those organizations reach out to the consumers, to their customers, then that's what they'll do. If they act on it and close down those accounts and make sure that it stops potential loss of funds or access into accounts, then hopefully they are putting that into action. So in a nutshell, Internet Fraud Alert enables people who find stolen information to give it to store it in a secured clearinghouse where the organizations that own that data can come in, take it, and put it through their fraud programs.
So Microsoft has essentially worked as a broker to help a variety of institutions better protect their own customers.
Correct. Microsoft was behind the design and development of Internet Fraud Alert, and it helped to – there were folks on my then team to establish relationships with the initial founding partners like PayPal to announce Internet Fraud Alert in the summer of this year and tell consumers, hey, industry and law enforcement – are coming together in such a way to ensure that any stolen information, credit cards, socials, or username and passwords into your email accounts are being found and delivered as quickly as possible to the organizations that maintain that data so they can try and act and secure it quickly.
So before we go on to photo DNA, which I want to hear about, I do want to point out I will still hammer on Microsoft for things like not making the auto-run patch a critical update for Windows XP and things like that, but Microsoft does deserve credit for good programs such as the Internet Fraud Alert.
Well, I had fun working on Internet Fraud Alert, and the folks that were working on that from the team included Angeline Lee and Cynthia Lilly. We all worked together from Microsoft to help make Internet Fraud Alert a reality. And big kudos to the folks who were the founding members of Internet Fraud Alert.
So what's PhotoDNA?
PhotoDNA is another technology that was worked on by the folks on my old team at the Digital Crimes Unit, and that involved Cynthia Lilly, Sue Ho Telling, Sarah Seltzer, and Tim Cranton. And the notion behind PhotoDNA is to benefit the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So there is... this is an effort to fight the distribution of child exploitation images. In reality, what PhotoDNA does is you can take an image and get a fingerprint of that image and save that image with its unique fingerprint at another computer or some website or some social media site. If someone else accesses that same photo and downloads it, if they were to take a look at that fingerprint, it should be the same. However, what the folks that are involved in this unfortunate world have done is they'll take the child exploitation images and alter those images. So the image may be altered just slightly. It may be cropped, therefore removing part of the image. That fundamentally changes the fingerprint of that image, and then it becomes hard to find.
Kind of like with some of the early Visual Basic Script viruses, someone might, a script kiddie might change the subject line, and that changes the actual fingerprint.
Correct. Excellent example. And what photo DNA does, because the image is binary, it's not ASCII, it creates a fuzzy hash. It focuses on elements of the image, and if the image is altered, photo DNA will go ahead and find the altered image. So the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC for short, keeps information on these kinds of child exploitation images. And photo DNA was initially developed by Haney Farid. He is a professor of computer science at Dartmouth College, worked with my old team to get this realized, to get the technology realized. And it's a technology that I know at the time DCU, or Digital Crimes Unit, was working on rolling out within Microsoft. And I know I last heard that they were working on potentially partnering with other industry members to try and roll the technology out, so that this way there would be a coordinated effort across industry to go after these altered child exploitation images. It's an unfortunate crime. It's horrible. I'm just glad that there's something like this out now that is focusing on trying to eliminate it and find the folks who are behind these images and help law enforcement go after them and shut them down and hopefully bring some sort of closure to the children who were used to create these exploitation images.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today, both about Internet Fraud Alert and photo DNA. If you have any further questions on this topic for Randy or Paul, feel free to email them at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow the ESET research team on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.